Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, just for the word that you've got prepared for each one of your children that's sitting here, me included. Thank you that this word is just going to be a blessing to us. It's just going to refresh us. And thank you that you want to help us grow and get strengthened this year and accomplish great exploits in 2017. Thank you, Father, that we can be expectant for this year, that it's going to be a great year. And we can just co-labor with you and cooperate with you in your word in making that happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So my shirt was ironed this morning. And for some reason, these old khaki shirts, I'm not going to diss them now. For some reason, they stay ironed for about 10 seconds or so. And then they just end up being all creased. You can ask my wife if I ironed my shirt. I did iron it this morning. Awesome. So we're busy with a series. We started last week. The series is called Knowing God. The banner obviously says that. And the scripture that we're building the series on is Daniel 11 verse 32. And we're going to jump straight into the Word of God. If you missed out on last week's teaching, then I want to encourage you to get that from the resource desk. It's for free, so then you can catch up on last week's teaching. It'll also bless you and encourage you. So Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So last week we asked, and I'm going to ask you again this morning, who wants to have an epic 2017? Can I see some hands? Okay, cool. I think a few of you didn't hear me, or you're not too keen on having an epic 2017. You're welcome to stay tuned and hear how you can be a partaker of this epicness in 2017, or else you know where the door is, but we wish that you stay. Okay. So the awesome thing is that God also desires for you to have an awesome 2017. The Kunrad is leaving, but he's a leader. He's going to be back. So God also desires for us to have an epic 2017. That's a good news. And the other thing is that, so we desire that, God desires that. But does that automatically mean that we're going to have an epic 2017? Does that automatically mean that 2017 is going to be a better year than 2016? And for those of you who aren't sure about the answer is no. And it's very simple why it is no, because not everything that God desires or wills automatically comes to pass. Okay, so if that is the first time you hear that statement, I'm going to take you to the Word of God, because everything we say and everything that we minister to or minister from the pulpit at any one of our gatherings, it's based and it's grounded and founded on God's Word, and that is the good news. We don't make up our own theologies or anything like that. It's all very simple, straight from the God's Word. So on my statement, let's go to 2 Peter 3 verse 9. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version. It says, "The Lord is not being slow in doing what He's promised, the way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change their ways and stop sinning." Okay, cool. So if you know some sinners, if you don't, you can just look to the person left and right to you. Not sinners in their nature, but making mistakes, falling short, missing the mark. So according to this scripture, God's will is not that any should be lost, and yet people are perishing and losing out today on the life that Jesus came to give us. And then also, people are constantly making mistakes, falling short of the mark, and living in sin. So that is God's will, but that doesn't automatically come to pass. So hence my statement, if you want an epic year, if you want a great year, a year of great exploits, a year full of power, it's not going to automatically come to pass. You know, you need to cooperate with the Word of God. So let's continue. And that's why our series is built on Daniel 11 verse 32. And that is the key to having a year full of power, and a year full of great exploits. It is through knowing God. If you were here last week, it is through knowing God. But not just knowing God, because a lot of Christians know God, but what is the God they know? What nature does that God have? And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is focus in and zoom into what is God's actual nature? What is His true nature? In order to have that exciting, awesome, powerful year and a year of great exploits, you need to know God and His true nature. And that might be a little bit too simple for some of you. Yeah, I know that we've got some pretty intelligent people, people with more than one degree and read a bunch of books, hopefully the Bible as well. But a lot of times, I guess most of the time, 99.9% of the time, God's answers to all of our questions are very straightforward. It's very simple. And if you actually stop and think about it, if you're missing out on something, if you waiting for something to happen, waiting for the heavens to open or whatever, if you're waiting on God to talk to you, maybe the answer is sitting right under your nose. It's really that simple. Right under your nose, meaning if you look down, you hopefully see your feet, and Jesus is part of who you are. Jesus is living inside of you, and He's the answer. Knowing Him and knowing His true nature, His true character, is the key to having an epic year and a year full of great exploits. So you can check your heart. You know where you're at. God knows where you're at more than you do. So be real with yourself, and just look at the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus, all of His parables, He related to people where they were at. And most of the people that He related to were real, like, common type of people, fishermen, farmers. And He related to them in the most simple, basic ways, but yet such profound ways when He spoke about farming. Like, all of us know the laws and the principles of farming. Sow a seed, time goes by, and you see a harvest. That's super simple, and that is such an awesome truth that we can apply to our lives and everything in work with the Word. The seed that you sow, you allow that seed to germinate, allow to envision the promises of that seed, and be expectant for that harvest to come. So it's very simple. And if you're visiting us for the first time as well, this is kind of the message that we focus on every Sunday. It's that simple. It's the gospel. It's the undiluted message of God's unconditional love and grace. And you're not ever going to hear anything that isn't found on God's unconditional love and grace. So if that is not for you, then give us some time. You're going to fall in love with the people if you don't like our message. But hopefully the Spirit will lead and guide you in truth, because God wants you to stick around and discover His unconditional love and grace for you. Okay, amen. Okay, so out of a loving relationship, God wants us as Christians to discover Him, because out of a relationship with God, out of knowing God, out of enjoying that fellowship with Him, that is, like I said, the key to your success for this year, the key to your growth for this year, and the key for you to achieve more, to grow from glory to glory, knowing God. That is what Christianity is about. And yet, sadly, we all have Christian friends that just, they don't look too happy. They're struggling. They're not, I get it. I also struggle. I'm married. My wife is a blessing. I'm just joking. I'm full of jokes this morning. Jesus said that there is going to be persecution. But if you have a relationship with God, if you're walking in your true identity, you can overcome any persecution, any weapon that is thrown against you. You will stand strong in the grace of God, and you will overcome any hurdle. But that is only possible in knowing God and your identity as a son of God, the loving Father that He is, that He's your protector, He's your provider, He's your deliverer. So you need to get to know that God. Otherwise, as a Christian, if you don't know God in that way, you're not going to be confident. You're not going to be bold. You're not going to be confident in walking in your inheritance. What has He promised you? Can you hold on to that? Can you expect that? Or are you unworthy? Are you, did you do too much wrong this week? God is completely, utterly in love with you. And the light in you is His Son, wherever you're at. Whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees the finished work of His Son on the cross. And that is the gospel. And that is exciting, at least for me. So, as I said, we're looking at the true nature of God this morning. And I want to go to an African proverb. I don't know who wrote the African proverbs. There's a few cool African proverbs. I discovered a new one this week. I haven't actually researched the whole origin of African proverbs, but I guess that's not too important. But the one I want to share with you this morning is, an army of sheep led by a lion will easily defeat an army of lion led by a sheep. Okay, so an army of sheep led by a lion will easily defeat an army of lion led by a sheep. Okay, so why am I sharing this proverb with you? So for the sake of my illustration, I want you to see Jesus, see Him as the Lion of Judah. I know Jesus was also referred to as the Lamb of God, but He was also referred to as the Lion of Judah in Revelation. So for the sake of my illustration, see Jesus as this Lion of Judah. And who of you have seen the movie Chronicles of Narnia? We've got a few hands again. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see it. It's got such awesome symbolism of Jesus Christ, His crucifixion, and it's really, really powerful. If you haven't seen it, if you've missed the symbolism in the movie, go and watch it. Open up your heart. Let Jesus minister to you. It's really got some powerful symbolism. And Liam Neeson's voice, you kind of almost see Jesus in that voice. He's got this voice of authority, but at the same time, just humble and meek at the same time, soft and gentle, but still with authority. So see Jesus as this lion, and we obviously being His sheep. And when you look at our enemy, the enemy, and Peter actually also talks about the enemy comes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so Jesus is not this lion. I want to just say that when it talks about, first of all, in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, that the enemy comes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he doesn't have authority to devour anyone. He seeks whom he may devour. The people who allow the enemy and his temptations, his fear, his tactics to get to you and for you to submit to him. In James 4 verse 7, it also says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a promise from God. Okay, so I have this picture. The enemy, he's got his troops, he's got his sickness, he's got his fear, he's got his deception, his poverty, all of those things. And see that kind of like his pack of lion cubs, okay? So he's out there, but they're being led by a sheep, okay? So African proverb, we've got Jesus, our Lion of Judah, we're following Him. And any given day, when the battle comes to it, we're going to defeat Satan because he's already been defeated. All of the fear, sickness, disease, all of those lion cubs, they've been defeated. So you don't have to fear anything. You can just stand strong in God's grace and the power that He's given us and the authority that He's given us. Okay, so that's my proverb for this morning. Hopefully that blessed you. In life, there are many, many misconceptions about God. And I also wanted to share this proverb because the way that you see Jesus, the way that you view Him, as I talked about, we are a pack of the sheep walking in God's herd and in his pack. And the way that you view Him is going to determine whether you're going to follow Him with confidence or whether you're going to have fear as to where is He taking us now. So that's what God wants you to discover. Discover that the relationship that He desires for you, that intimate relationship, so that when He calls you to do something, you're going to be full of confidence and boldness into stepping into that line or stepping into that call for your life. But your religion has kind of distorted the view of God, the true nature of God for us. Unfortunately, we were at the first year's fair yesterday, welcoming all of the first years to Stellenbosch, just connecting with them, chatting to them. And it was actually quite sad to find out how many first-year students don't desire to have a relationship with God. And I can't blame them if you hear what their perception of God actually is. It's so distorted that, like, if that was my perception of God, if that was my portrayal of God that I've been portrayed to by my parents or by church or whatever, like, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it either. But I'm trusting by by the word that we've sown into so many of the students' hearts, the love that we extended to them, that acceptance that we extended to them, and by the Holy Spirit and the seed sown, we excited and expecting to see this year with a lot of influx of first-year students, because God does love them and God does desire for them to have a super powerful year, a first year full of excitement, a first year full of success, not failure, first year full of joy, happiness, not sadness, not heartache. So you can be excited with me and expectant with that. So as I said, a lot of misconceptions in this world, but for us to really discover this God that we're serving, this God that we're co-laboring with, we need to hold on to Daniel 11 verse 32. Know God, and you'll have a powerful year with great exploits. Relationship with God, from that relationship with God, like I said, Christianity is all about relationship with God. And from that place, we get to share that love. You can't share something you haven't received. First of all, you need to receive, you need to discover this loving God that we're co-laboring with, this loving God that has sent His Son to die on the cross for us, not to condemn us, but to save us, to make a way for us, to be in right standing with Him. And then from that place, from discovering that, you get to have an epic year full of great exploits. Don't put the cart in front of the horse. Put the horses in front of the cart. Let Jesus carry the weight. Let Him allow you. Let Him be the strength for your horse carriage. And it's going to be an epic year. Now I want to share something on faith. And faith isn't something that some people think faith kind of falls on you, or faith happens to you, or faith comes and goes. Maybe so if someone's name is Faith, then they come and go, but faith isn't something that comes and goes. It's not something that just vanishes. And I want to share a few things with you regarding faith. The great thing about faith is that everyone sitting in this room this morning has got faith. Okay? Everyone's got faith in this room. Every person in the world actually has got faith. I'm not saying everyone's got faith in Jesus, but everyone has a faith in something, or a belief system, a worldview. Okay, so if you've got faith for something, or if you're believing something, why aren't you seeing those things come to pass? Why aren't you seeing the things that you have faith for, the belief system that you have with regards to whatever, fill in the blank, why aren't you seeing the things happening for you? And the answer is pretty simple again this morning. And the answers, like I said, will be simple, and they will continue to be simple. And the answer to the problem is unbelief. Okay, unbelief. What is unbelief? Unbelief isn't the inability to believe. It's when what you believe or have faith for is un. Okay? Meaning wrong, distorted, perverted. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Unbelief isn't the inability to believe or to have faith. But unbelief is when what you're having faith for or what you're believing is completely wrong, perverted, contradicting the word of God, the will of God. Okay, I'm using the will of God and the word of God simultaneously, because God's will is found in His word. It's as simple as that, and that's why, like I said early on, whatever we're teaching, whatever we're preaching at any Grace Life gathering in any one of our communities, it's always going to be God's word, because God's word is His will, and He's bound His word by the word of God, and His promises by that. Okay, I want you to go to Romans 10 verse 17 with me. I'm going to read from the easy to read version. But you're going to have the King James Version on the screen. Romans 10 verse 17. So faith comes by hearing the good news. And people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. So the easy to read version really puts it blunt and simple. It kind of puts the whole context of the chapter 10, puts it clear for us. Because the King James Version would say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people would preach the word, something about hell, something about judgment, something about condemnation. But that's not how faith arises. That's not how faith comes to the surface. Faith comes to the surface by hearing the good news. And then if the good news didn't make it clear, easy to read version, it's easy to read, it continues to say, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. Christ is the good news. Jesus Christ on the cross died, resurrected. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And through that, your faith arises. Like I said, I'm going to be repeating myself a bit this morning just to carry the point across clearly, because this is such a vital key for us to have a successful 2017. We've been reconciled with God completely, brought into right relationship with Him. Sin has been dealt with. There's no longer that veil. The veil has been torn. And we can boldly approach Jesus Christ and His throne. That's a true gospel. Jesus is everything. We in 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So you are made righteous through faith in Jesus. You don't attain righteousness. You are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work. And I think that deserves an amen. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, when someone belongs to Christ Jesus, it is not important if they are circumcised or not. The important thing is faith, the kind of faith that works through love. You see here, Galatians, it says it's not about the law. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. The important thing is faith. It goes on to say, what is faith? The kind of faith that works through love. So first of all, we heard that faith gets stirred up by hearing the gospel, by hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. And then this verse continues to say that faith works by love. What love? Human love? No. The God kind of love. The perfect love. The unconditional love. The love of Jesus that was shed abroad for every person on earth to receive. So again, faith is just actually seeing God. Like I said, seeing God for He truly is, His true nature, seeing Him as that loving Father. And when you start doing that, faith will rise up in your heart. Again, it won't just come and go, but faith will actually get stirred up, that which is already there, and your unbelief will become belief. You start separating and taking out that un. And I always see it kind of like, it links in with a little bit when I talk about Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, where Paul is writing about, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So obviously with regards to your belief system, we need to renew our minds. And I always, a great illustration of this, or great illustration for me, hopefully it can help some of you as well. If you've got a glass and you've got some Oros in that glass mixed with water, and you put that glass under a running tap, the more clean and clear water runs into that glass, the more diluted the water is going to become until there's no more Oros left in the glass. And that is what we need to do with regards to God. Just keep pouring in God's love. Keep digging into His love, His grace, His acceptance, His redemption for your life and what He's got in store for you. And the more that from belief will fade away. And I'm going to share something profound with you now. In life, if you want to eat anything, you have to aim at it. If you want to eat anything, you have to aim at it. Okay, so it's really simple, and it's exactly the same for our Christian life as well. If you think about hunting, I haven't been hunting now for about 7 years. Not that I stopped. I just haven't had the opportunity. Hint, hint. But it's quite an experience. Hunting is quite an experience. It's really, really awesome. But if you look at hunting and you go out into the field and you're looking for that springbuck, you drive on the buck, or you do your walking, whatever your preferred way of hunting is. Let's say you're on a bucky and you come to this pack of springbuck, and you see about 20 springbuck there. You have to sit down, get your telescope ready, and identify which is the biggest ram. Obviously, you want the biggest ram. More meat, hopefully trophy. It's going to be more expensive then, but you get what I'm saying. You have to pick a buck, okay? So after you've picked your buck, the biggest ram, you breathe in, you breathe out, and you take your shot, okay? So it's that simple. You have to be focused on $1. You can't be focused on all $20. Okay, you can't hesitate in that moment even. Like, as you've picked your buck, you kind of think, now, is that actually the biggest one? I think there might be a bigger one, but I'm not too sure. Now you hesitate, and then the buck gets spooked off, and then you lose out, and no buck, no meal for the evening. So exactly the same with God and with Jesus and this relationship that we're walking with. We need to be focused. We need to be geared towards one focal point. And when you do that, when that is going to become your purpose for this year, to focus on one thing and not 500 things, you're going to have success and get your buck. And obviously I'm referring to that one thing being knowing God. Okay, go with me to James 1. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 8. This illustrates this point further. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, first of all, I just want to throw out something free for you there in verse 7. That's not what I want to focus on. It says that, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. That verse doesn't say that, do not think that the Lord or God won't give anything to that man. But it's talking about that man won't receive anything from the Lord. It's about the receptor side. What are you receiving? You're not going to be able to receive from God if you don't see God for who he truly is. Okay, it's not about God withholding. It's about you not being able to receive. Okay, but verse 8 is the one I want to focus on. Is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is basically you have two visions or you've got two targets. Okay, so if you're going to be one off, half of your foot in the world this year and half in the will of God, you're going to be unstable and you're not going to reach your destination. You need to be focused. We need to be focused on Jesus. That's the ingredient for a successful 2017. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. It's an awesome passage. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 2. There's a lot that we can get out of these verses, but I'm just going to draw out a few things. It says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first of all, the writer of Hebrews is talking about running a race. Running a race that is set before us. Okay, cool. Who of you have done a 5-kilometer race? Okay, we've got some unfit people here. I like the fit ones. I'm joking. So it's basic. You can only run one race at a time. You can't do a 5-kilometer race and while you're doing a 100-meter sprint. Like races, you get different races. And you need to focus on the race that is set before you in order to complete that race and to obviously be most effective and be most successful within that race. God created you on a purpose and for a purpose. And if you've discovered that purpose, that is where you're going to get the most satisfaction out for this year. If you haven't discovered it yet, if you're unsatisfied with where you are, with what you're doing, then reevaluate. What is God's purpose for my life? What does He desire for me? And we've got an awesome series at the back. I'm just going to promote our Discover Your Destiny series. It was epic. Went into detail with regards to this topic. What is your destiny? What is your purpose? I'm not going to go into too much depth with regards to that. I'm just going to give the main point of that destiny, and that is for a purposeful life, simple, knowing God, relationship with Him. Jesus defined eternal life for us. Who of us wants to enjoy eternal life? Great. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So eternal life isn't just a quantity of life, meaning a duration, but it's also talking about a quality of life. And Jesus defined eternal life for us in John 17, verse 3. It says, "And this is life eternal, that the people can know you, the only true God, and that they can know Jesus Christ, the one you sent." So simple. So simple. Eternal life is about relationship with God, about Jesus Christ, about the price He paid for us. And that's a quality life. That's not just a, I'm waiting for my talk to click down. I want to get in heaven so that I can enjoy this abundant life. No, Jesus wants and desires for us to enjoy abundance right now, right here. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness. That is all part of the package that is there for us. It's like a gift. When you get a gift, it's wrapped. It's got these four toys in: healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness. Like, what if you open that gift and you just start playing with the one? You're going to miss out on the other three. You need to start playing with all four of them. And that's what God delights for us, to enjoy the full package. Okay, Hebrews 12, just to get back to that. So this race it's not a marathon. Or it is a marathon, it's not a sprint. It says, run with patience. Or some translations say, run with endurance. Which means you're not going to finish this race overnight. Okay, you're not going to just finish this race in a week's time. It's talking about running with patience. And I know we're living in a culture where it's all about microwave this, microwave that, Google here, Google there. And it's really difficult to kind of be patient in this world that we're living in. Every little thing is just like it gets on your nerves when something is working too slow. And traffic is one of the biggest examples. And if you have to sit in traffic for more than, I would say, 20 minutes a day, then we've got a bunch of Epic Resources CDs there. Go and get them. Get the most out of that 30 minutes plus that you're going to be sitting in the car. Be encouraged when someone squeezes in front of you and you're listening to the love of God. You're going to pray for them and bless them. So I encourage you to get those resources. But yeah, like I said, patience is really, really key with regards to this Christian life that we're walking. Patience in God's word and His promises, that they are true. When we're applying the principle, sowing the seed, we're going to see an harvest. I like this definition of patience. It says, patience is faith over a prolonged period of time. That is what patience is. Patience is faith over a prolonged period of time. Like I said early on, Jesus spoke about awesome parables. We get the parable of the sower and the stages of growth in Mark 4, where it talks about first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. That's an awesome illustration just of, again, farming. Seed gets sown, time goes by, and you expect an harvest. Any of you, if you know a farmer, you'll see them, when sowing time comes, they're sowing. Okay? You can go and ask them, why are you sowing? Because we want to expect an harvest. Okay, that's basic. So Jesus spoke so much about farming and referring to His word as the incorruptible seed. So why don't we sow that seed and be as expectant as the farmers in South Africa are? Be as expectant as all the farmers over the world are. They sow a seed, without a shadow of a doubt, they expect an harvest in due time. So be patient, take God's word, take the seed, sow it into your heart, and be expectant for what should be coming from that seed that you've sown. Okay, and then it's epic to look at this race that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He doesn't just tell us to run this race and run it with patience, but he also tells us even further how we can make this race successful. Run your race looking unto Jesus. Run this race looking unto Jesus. And like I said, it links in to what I shared a little bit earlier on with regards to faith. It's looking unto Jesus, getting that clear image of who Jesus is and His character is. And with that view, you can have belief without the un. You'll never be strong in faith without focusing on Jesus. And you'll never fulfill your destiny and attain everything that God wants for you without strong faith. Like all of you know that life gets tough, persecution comes from our friends, from people we don't know, the economy, the world systems, everything is falling apart. But whilst everything is falling apart around us, we can be strong in faith and get through these hardships and these difficulties, knowing that we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So again, what are you focused on? Are you focused on this temporal lack, this temporal difficulty? Or are you looking unto Jesus, knowing that this is just temporal? There's something better for me. Having that joy, having that eternal perspective. And yeah, like I said, in order to run this race with power and might, we need to focus on Jesus. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Like I said, because of misconception, because of religion, many people don't see God as a God of mercy, don't see God as a God of grace. So they're too fearful to approach him at any given time. You kind of think, oh, I need to set a meeting and I need to kind of let someone go in front of me that has done more wrong than I have so that God can compare me to them and judge me less harshly to what he's already judged them. But that's not what God's character and his nature is about. It says, as we approach him, we're going to find him. We're going to find grace and mercy. We need to relate to God, not based on our performance, like I said, but based on the performance of Jesus Christ, which was the perfect and finished performance. Now, this reminds me of a story thinking about God and having boldness and confidence to approach him at any given time. When I was about 5 years old, I was playing on, I watched some movie that I wasn't supposed to watch, and I got onto this wall, and I had my umbrella, and I was thinking that if I jump from this wall with my umbrella, I'm going to float, or I'm not going to fall straight to the floor. And luckily, my parents obviously knew that that wasn't going to work, because the balance between my weight and the umbrella and all of that was a little bit off. My balance on the wall was also a little bit off because I fell off of the wall before I could jump and actually try this out. And I bumped my head. But what I want to actually bring out of the story is that my dad being there, now encouraging me, just jump towards me at least. Maybe this will work, but just jump towards me. So he's kind of telling me, yeah, try what you want to try, but jump towards me. And So obviously I hoped for this to work, but at the same time, if it failed, I knew my dad will catch me. Like I had confidence in that. I had boldness, and there's no way that my dad will let me fall. And the only way that was possible was through knowing my father's heart for me, knowing my dad's heart and his intentions for me. What father here is going to purposefully let their child drop just to teach them something or to, I don't even know what. And that's God's desire for us is to know him and his true nature for us, because from that, only from that alone can you have a strong year full of great exploits. And like I said, many people are looking for God and they're trying to find him on the judgment seat, but it says that God is on the throne of grace. And when you approach him, you're going to only receive grace and mercy. Grace being getting what you don't deserve, and mercy being not getting what you do deserve, which is punishment for your shortcomings and all of the things that you've committed wrong. And grace, obviously, like I said, getting what you don't deserve, getting abundance, getting all of his blessings. Relating to God based on grace and not our performance releases supernatural faith in our lives. Go with me to 1 Peter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ's death. He was a pure and perfect sacrificial lamb. I'm going to read it again. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ's death. He was a pure and perfect sacrifice, sacrificial lamb. Think about that. We just went through, obviously, the festive season, Christmas, and there were a bunch of gifts being handed out, and it was awesome. Hopefully, you also celebrated the birth of Jesus and what he came to give for us. But if I just think about, I got a pair of new sunglasses recently, and geez, I'm protected over those things. I'm cleaning them every time I take them out. I'm cleaning them every time I put them back in to their protective casing. And it's because I value it, because it's valuable to me, so I'm valuing that. And here the scripture says that you were bought with the precious blood of Christ's death. You were bought, like with the most precious price that could have ever been paid, someone's life, and not just someone, a king that left his throne, come to earth, be a servant, and die. He purchased you. What does that say about you? You are valuable in God's eyes. You are cherished in God's eyes. And if I'm so protective over my sunglasses, how much more don't you think God is protective over you and desires for you to enjoy life and have good things? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. I'm going to read up to verse 3. Now, about food sacrifices to idols, we know that we all have knowledge concerning this. Knowledge alone makes people self-righteously arrogant, but love, say with me, love, but love that's unselfishly seeks the best for others, builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. If anyone imagines that he knows and understands anything of divine matters without love, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God with awful reverence and gratitude, he is known by him and his very own and is greatly loved. Knowing God isn't just about an intellectual knowing. It's about an intimate knowing. As I said from John 17 verse 3, it's about knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that sacrifice, that payment that was paid for your life, knowing the value of your life. How can you be expectant for great things if you don't see God valuing you? If you look at relationships, you often actually find people who are just so devaluing of their lives. They just have such a low self-esteem because for whatever reason, maybe their parents broke them down or their friends, their siblings broke them down, whatever the reason. If that is you, start redefining your value system or the way that you see yourself and start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. That payment, that valuable price that he paid through Jesus for your life. In conclusion, I just want to read Daniel 11 verse 32 again. It says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. When we know God, it helps us to be strong and secure. Like I said, identity. If you know God, who he is, and you see yourself as a son with an inheritance, like it's going to make you strong and secure. When you know God and know his true nature, it's going to make faith start rising up inside of your heart, knowing that love, faith works by love, knowing that good news, that good intentions that God has got for you. That is when faith is going to start rising up in your life, and then you can be expectant for greater things in 2017. When we have an understanding of the nature, the true nature of God, it will give us confidence, like I said, confidence to approach him at any given time. Even if you just made a mistake, even if you just sinned, you can approach God boldly, knowing that he's always accepting of you, he's always loving of you, because he's already paid for every sin that you've ever committed and ever will commit. Okay, that's not just a theology. It's from the scripture. Go and read Hebrews chapter 10. That's an awesome passage. And then lastly, we'll have confidence to step out in faith and do what we are called to do when we know who God is and we know what he's called us to. Amen. Thank you, Father, Dad, just for this message. And thank you, Dad, that we can just be so expectant of this year, be expectant of great things, be expectant for us to just be strong, stand strong, not in our might, not in our ability, but in your ability in us. Thank you, Father, that we can be expectant for doing things with you, because you love us and you desire for us to be enjoying our life, to live a life on purpose, because we were created for a purpose. Thank you, Father, that this seed that was sown from your word this morning to every heart present is just going to dig deep into the hearts and find deep roots in their hearts. And that every seed sown will produce a harvest. It will produce a harvest that people will be drawn to. And when we have to give account for this harvest that we are enjoying and experiencing, and people look at us, we can direct them directly to you. You are our source, and you are the reason that we're going to have an awesome 2017. You are the reason that we can be expecting for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.